very good. I also have one from Linda Palmer, and I'm just going to take a quick minute to read it because it was just handed to me, and it will go up on the board or on the board downstairs. To all the ladies at Blaisdell Gospel Chapel, I want to take this time to thank you for the beautiful plant of Christmas. All your prayers, cards, and calling during this time. It has been hard, but the Lord has helped me each day. It has been a long winter, and I'm looking forward to summer. I'm sure all of you are, too. Thank you also for the pretty plant you just sent. It came at a time when I was low with pain and tired of all of this. Then just in time, the Lord sends something to help me remember He is in control and He cares. Your show of love was felt. Thanks again. Love in Christ, Linda Palmer. She's been really quite sick. She has strep right now. A few other things. Well, I should get up here and say good morning to all of you. It's always a privilege to share something that the Lord has given you. A privilege, also, usually I say it's a little scary too, but when I have a beautiful audience to look at, it makes it a little easier. Are there any announcements other than what I have said about the offering and so forth and so on? Anybody else have anything? Renee? It would be nice to get a group together to go, wouldn't it? Yeah. Did everybody hear that? There are some flyers in the back. Let's just look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Father, we just ask you at this time to just quiet our hearts, Lord, and help us to think of what you would have us to think upon today and to learn. We thank you for each lady here. We thank you for the family she represents, Lord, the family that you've given to each of us. And we just ask your blessing upon them at this time, Father. Draw us all toward your heart, Lord. We just love you and we want to serve you and we want to live as you would have us to live. Bless this time together, Father, and help us to just desire to know more and more of you each day. In your Son's precious name. I've been thinking for some time about the different psalms and the different singing that we do here. And I was trying to relate it. You know, it must have been wonderful to hear a whole bunch of a heavenly choir, if you will, Israelis walking along singing. I don't know how that was. Anybody have any idea? I don't know if they had a special meter or I don't think their songs rhymed, but somehow they gave glory to the Lord in their singing. And so I was asking myself, do I always sing with joy to the Lord, with joy in my heart? You know, when you've been here as long as I have, you know a lot of the hymns by heart. You don't even have to look at the book. So can I do that and sing and not really pay attention to what I'm singing? That's really easy to do, but it's not a good thing to do, because I'm not saying that the hymns were inspired like the Holy Word of God. But nevertheless, God inspired men or women to write their thoughts down. And so we're to sing with joy. The Bible says that we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And, of course, the first thing you think of there is the Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. But it's also in several other psalms. Our singing is part of worship and thanksgiving to the Lord and praise and show our love to the Lord. Well, the psalmist David, and as you know probably from the Christmas program that Diane read to us, I always liked calling him the sweet psalmist of Israel, because I think he just loved music. And you can tell he wrote approximately 95 of the 150 psalms that are in the Bible. They're psalms of thanksgiving, and they're psalms of praise, and sometimes psalms of where he's really searching his own heart before the Lord. But today we're going to look at two psalms that aren't in the book of Psalms, two psalms of David. So if you would turn with me to 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. Wow, my Bible's been open so much studying, it just turned right to it. just give you a little background to David's reason for writing this psalm. You might remember that they were at war with the Philistines, and the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Lord, and it was in David's heart to bring it back to David's city, the city of David, Zion, Jerusalem, whatever you want to call it, same city. And as he was thinking about this, he seeks counsel. Okay, let me get this right. He consulted with the captains of thousands. This is in the 13th chapter. You don't have to go there. And with hundreds and with every leader and also of the congregation that they would do so for the thing. They said they would do so for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Right there, that should have sent up a little red flag. I'm sort of losing my voice, so just bear with me. The thing was right in the eyes of the people. He didn't seek God's advice at this particular time. He was doing something right, but he was doing it in the wrong way. Well, you know the story where as they get a new cart and they put the Ark of the Covenant on and they're going along and the oxen stumble a bit and Uzzah, a man named Uzzah, puts his hand out to steady the cart and the Lord struck him dead. You think about that. Wow, he didn't want it to fall. He was doing something right. It wasn't in the ways of that God had set up to move the ark. And everything was done in a certain way. There was a pattern. If you go back into further back in the Old Testament, there's a pattern for everything that's to be done in the right way. So, as I said, David was doing something right in the wrong way. But David learns from that. If we go in a little... Oh, I should say that because of this incident, the ark was taken into the house of a man named Obed-Edom, and there it rested there in his house for 3 months. And the Lord says, or the Bible says, in the 13th chapter, 14th verse, and the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. So, you know, I mean, when you stop thinking about, here is this ark, you just bring it and plop it in his house. But it was the ark of the testimony of God, and it brought blessing to him and to his family and to his home. In chapter 14, I said we're going to be in 16, and we are, but in chapter 14, David learned a lesson. He inquires of the Lord. The 14th verse says, therefore, David inquired again of God, and God says, and that's where God tells him to go with the Philistines. He's going to be with them, and they'll defeat the Philistines and so forth. The result of doing something right in the right way, in God's way, is in verse 25 in chapter 15, I think it is. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains of the thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And I think that joy is what causes David to just burst out in writing this psalm or this song in chapter 16. Now we get to chapter 16. David is so happy that things are going the way God wants them to go. And you know, in our lives, isn't that true? When we know that we're being led of the Lord and we do it His way, it brings joy. It just does. You know you're in the place or the plan or whatever it is that God has for you. And it's just a joyful thing to know that the Lord is working through you. It doesn't happen every minute. I mean, we just aren't like that. But it's so important in anything we do to seek the Lord's will. All right, David is so happy and excited about this time that he has a festival, and I'm not sure what that means exactly, but I think they got together and had a nice time together. And he gives each person, and it says, let me see if I can find that. I better get in the right chapter. In the third verse of chapter 16, it says, and he dealt to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, that means one of those nice, tasty roasts, and a flagon of wine. He was so happy that he wanted to share with everybody. And it's it's a psalm of thanksgiving that we're going to read about. It was just such a wonderful and happy time. And as I say, that's the way it should be, and it is with us if we follow the Lord's leading. Well, anyway, David makes this psalm of thanksgiving, and let's begin in verse 7. And I also say when I am up here that I just talk. I keep, so if you have something to say, put your hand up and I'll acknowledge it. And you may say what you want to say. But let's just read a few verses here. And I didn't say that not only did he have this festival and gives people all this, but he gathers together a choir because, again, he's going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Verse 7, it says, then on that day, we're in 1 Chronicles 16, chapter 7, verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Now, he brought it into the hand of Asaph, maybe for Asaph to look at it and so forth, because Asaph was a chief musician who knew music. And I'd like to start in at verse 8 and read verses 8 through 12 right now. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. I wasn't going to go into there, but we can read it. Oh, ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant. That's to us too. It's to Israel, but we can take from that we're always to be mindful of the things of the Lord. Notice in that portion I just read, we're to give thanks, we're to call upon him, were to make known. Now, I was thinking about that, make known. It says, make known his deeds among the people. Well, I didn't look it up, but I think there's a verse, and it might just be from a song, but I think there's a verse that says he went about doing good. Anybody remember seeing that somewhere? He went about doing good. Well, I transferred that over into the New Testament, and I think you should talk about the gospel story, the salvation that the Lord has provided for us. His story. He went about doing good. Talk of him and his wondrous works. You know, sometimes it's hard to just start talking about the things of the Lord to people. But sometimes, you know, I always ask the Lord to let them ask me something, and then maybe I can break in with it. But sometimes there's just some little thing. Somebody might be going through something or something, and you can just get a little edge in there to begin talking about the wondrous works of the Lord. And it's much more important to talk about what the Lord has done than what you perceive is helping you. Talk of his wondrous works. Well, let's skip down to verses 23 to 25. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Show forth his salvation, for he is great. He's to be feared. You know, we're to have a reverential fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean that we're so afraid that we cow before him, but we need to respect who he is. He is God. He's the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. He is God. And I think today, there's a scarcity of reverential fear, even among Christians, which is sad to say, but God is God, and we should always revere him. And I think it's important for us to get a hold of that in our own hearts, to know that we should have definitely a reverential fear of him. You know, the God that could bring all those plagues to the Egyptians, and the God that could part the sea, and I mean, that's God, you know, and it just disturbs me when I hear people say something slighty, slight-handed about God. And the man upstairs and the big cat. And it gives me goosebumps, simple even saying it to you. We need to have a reverential fear of who God is. No joke. He is God. Am I talking too much? Are you saying anything? Okay. Verses 28 and 29. Give thanks unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Where do you see that regularly? That particular verse. Anybody know? Right on our wall. Right there. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring unto... No, I can't say it. I should know that verse. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We see it on there all the time. But again, like our singing, do we pay attention to what's right around us? A lot of times we don't. That's a wonderful verse. I don't know if you ever paid attention to the verses, but when some of us were on a committee to do them, we had all of them start with G because of this, gather. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And so the one that I can see at the back door says, God loveth a cheerful giver. This is go. This is gather. God gives. I can't remember what the last one is, and I can't see it from here. Okay. But anyway, it's important to pay attention to what's around us, too. In this verse here, in verse 29, the verse that we have on the wall, we're told to give, to come, to bring, and to worship. Our Christian walk is encompassed in that little verse right there. Verse 31 says, let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Now that's another phrase that I just absolutely love, the Lord reigneth. Isn't that a comforting verse, the Lord reigneth? We worry so much about things going on today, even about the Erie County Legislature, which we won't get into, but we worry about things. How is this going to work out? How is it? What am I going to do about this? Am I going to have to do this? And you know, when you come right down to it, the Lord reigneth. Just give it to him. Give it over to him, whatever. There is so much trouble today. There's illness and wars and shootings and all sorts of things. And every time I get a little down about that this phrase comes to my mind, the Lord reigneth. And when I do complain out loud, what do I hear from my husband? The Lord reigneth. In other words... Okay. I think that's a comforting thing for the Lord's people to understand, that the Lord reigneth. He is over all, and he is all and in all. We let things come into our lives sometimes that we really have not had come in, but he reigns. Okay, let's look at verses 33 to 36. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Let's just stop there for a minute. In verse 33, then the trees of the wood sing out. And I don't know if you like me, but I love trees. I love forests. When we lived in Orchard Park, we had a woods. I used to love just to go back there, stumble a few times because of all the roots. But I love trees. And so this caught my eye, the trees of the wood sing out. And Red, my husband, often quotes the 55th chapter of Isaiah. He loves that chapter. A lot of times we're talking about something and that'll spring into his mind and he'll quote it. And he likes the part where it says, the trees of the forest shall clap their hands. And I thought, wow, That here it talks about the trees singing, trees of the woods singing out. He says the trees clap their hands. And so I thought, well, that's nice. That relates to that. I never noticed that before. And then I looked down, and I got a circle going to the margin that says Isaiah 55. Well, there it was. And I never even looked at it in connection with that. But anyway, in the next verse, in verse 35, I think is the one I want to look at, there are four things that should always be exhibited by the Lord's people. Four things. The first one is salvation. Save us, O God. Could there be anything better in your life than your salvation if you truly know the Lord? You can relax. You can rest in the Lord. When you go to bed at night and lay your head on the pillow, should the Lord come in the night? Should you die in the night? You'd go to be with the Lord. And that, to me, that's peace. I remember, maybe I've said this, but I remember when I had surgery one time, and my kids were all in their early teens, and you think about that, you know, surgery, it was a major surgery. Surgery is, you know, it can go either way. And I can remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to go to be with you, but I'd really like to raise my kids, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, immediately just a peace came over me, and I don't remember anything anymore until I woke up. You know, the Lord just gives you a peace when you can trust him. How wonderful that is to know that you're saved and trusting the Lord for whatever befalls. The next thing is association. Gather us together. I lost it. Okay. And gather us together. You know, there's no more joy than when we're with those of like precious faith. You know, it just seems to, you have a bond together, and it just draws you together, and it's a wonderful thing to know that you know, that I know, that you know the Lord, and or whatever, you know what I'm saying. Anyways, it's a bond. And, you know, Sue Dibble Crowe first made some of us aware of this. I don't know if everybody's heard it, but a lot of times we grumble about one another about something or other, you know. And she came up with this little ditty. I don't know where she got it from, and some of you know what I'm going to say probably, but she said, to live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below the saints we know, now that's a different story. That's a cutie, isn't it? So we're asking the Lord to gather us together, that we may just fellowship together in him. The third thing is separation. It says to keep us, I keep losing my place here, to keep us from the world. Let me see, where am I? deliver us from the nations or the heathen, or in other words, from the world. You know, you've heard many times, the Lord has put us in the world, but that doesn't mean that the world has to be in us. And many times today, I've said this before, and forgive me if I'm repeating, but you know, so many times as Christians, some of us try to live closer to the world than to the Lord. Are we recognized for not having the world in us? Many times we aren't. We come so close to the world that people wouldn't know whether we're Christians or not. And then the fourth point is adoration. Give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. We need to adore the Lord. You know, we look at some like these little twins and things, and we adore them, looking at them. You know, that type of adoration is nothing of the adoration we should give to the Lord. He is God. Everything we have, everything he allows in our lives, everything he's done for us, causes us to have adoration toward him. He's a wonderful God. Trust we all know him as personal Savior. And then this little psalm ends, blessed, verse 36, be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said amen and praise the Lord. Now before we go to 1 Chronicles 29, would anybody like to say anything about 1 Chronicles 16? No, you wouldn't. Okay. We'll go on. Now we're going to continue in this with this another psalm, or psalm of thanksgiving that David wrote that isn't in the Psalms. And this is a wonderful psalm, too. This is a psalm that David gives praise to the Lord as his son Solomon is about to ascend to the throne and to rule over Israel. Now, you can stay there, but I'm just going to flip over to chapter 22, because in chapter 22, David already has gathered all the materials to build the temple where the ark is eventually going to reside. And he wanted to build the temple for the Lord. But the Lord says, no, you can gather the materials, but you're not going to build the temple. Does anybody know why David couldn't build the temple? I can't hear you, Karen. Right, that's very good. He shed blood and he killed many. And the Lord says, let's see, in verse 7 of chapter 22, it says, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. So he goes on to tell Solomon, I can't do this, but you're going to build it, the temple of the Lord. And so he begins to charge him, to tell him what he needs to do. He says, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel. This is in verse 12 of 22. That thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. The end of verse 13, he says, be strong and good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. And the end of verse 16, he says, arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. And in verse 19, he says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord. And then there's a little more to each of those verses, but I just wanted to hit on those and tell you what David had in mind. He had in mind to build this temple for the Lord, but now his son was going to do it. And David is near the end of his life at this time also. And then in chapter 28, well, we are going to get to 29, will the Lord. In chapter 28, there's a couple of verses that I just wanted to look at quickly. Verse 9, and now Solomon, my son, this is more charging Solomon with the job that had to be done. Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now remember, this is Old Testament teaching now. Once we're saved in this dispensation, the Lord will never cast us out, will never forsake us. He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But the phrase that caught my mind there is, with a perfect heart. What does it mean to have a perfect heart? Anybody have any ideas? Well, I think it means our hearts being wholehearted, wholeheartedness for God. First thought when we wake in the morning should be to our Heavenly Father, thought of Him. With our whole heart, we should thank Him and praise Him. You know, that doesn't mean you have to go somewhere and pray for 2 hours. It doesn't mean that. But it's in our attitude of our heart toward the Lord, wholeheartedness for God. And then in verse, I think the other one was in verse 20, he continues charging David. Solomon. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. In that little verse 2, there's three things. I don't know where I got them from, but I had them marked in the margin of my Bible. And we have three words: courage, conviction and completeness. Be strong, of good courage. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. That's courage that we need. And then, even my God will be with thee. That's conviction. Know that the Lord is with you. Once you've trusted him, you can never get away from him. He is there. And then completion, until the work is finished that the Lord sets us to do, whatever he has for us to do. Now we'll get to chapter 29, unless somebody else has something to say. Well, in verse 9 in chapter 29, I'd like to start there. It's the verse before David's thanksgiving and prayer. But he says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly because with perfect heart. They offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Now there again, he's rejoicing with great joy and he just bursts out with this psalm. But that perfect heart, wholeheartedness for God. There it is again. When he says it once, you should pay attention. When he says it twice, you should really pay attention. Okay, let's look at this psalm quickly. Verse 10 says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. You know, before I go any further, do you ever bless the Lord? Do I ever bless the Lord? You know, the Lord likes to hear that we bless him. Most of the time, a lot of us, I think I'm fairly normal. That's debatable. But most of the time, when we go to prayer, we're in a mind to ask the Lord for something, aren't we? 9 times out of 10, we want something from the Lord. And we might say, you know, thank you, and so forth before. But do we actually bless him? Do we actually know that what he's going to do is coming for us, is coming from him? You should bless him. It means to live wholeheartedly so that we make him happy. That's what blessing is, to be happy. Okay, I got off on a tangent there. Okay, verse 11, thine, O Lord. Now listen to this. Does David know God? He knows God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. It shows the sovereignty of God. It shows the power of God. Three words I always seem to center around. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is God. The Lord reigneth. Let's get that into our hearts and minds. The Lord reigneth. The Lord is great in what he does, in who he is, and what he allows in the world. We can trust him implicitly. I just want to touch on a couple other things. If you go quickly to verse 19, I'll have to leave some of this out. He's again praying part of the psalm. He says, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart. The third time. Now, if we listen to something the first time, it's good. The second time, it's better. The third time, it's the best of all. God really wants us to pay attention and be wholehearted for him. You know, many of us are half-hearted or a little weak-hearted toward God. Oh, we love the Lord and we come to meeting. But you know, is our life lived? What is the phrase that they use today, 24/7? Is our life lived for the Lord every minute of those 24 hours? It's important. And I don't mean that you walk around, you know, where you're not functioning as a normal human being. But our every thought should be centered somewhere in the Lord, either his blessing or his desire to use us or to work for us. Now, two other little phrases caught my eye when I was looking this over. Verse 14 says, but who am I? And David was humbled, too. And I wanted to say more about that, but I don't think we can. Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. And then the other verse is 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared and so forth cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Whatever we give to the Lord is his already. How wonderful he must know that we're not trying to clutch it for ourselves, but we're giving it to him. Because he made it all anyway. It belongs to him. They just mentioned this morning, somebody mentioned, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Much more than that. He owns everything. And it's important. There's a... I wanted to read this little poem. This is a... I sort of write a lot of little poems and things that I like in it, but I came across this some time ago, and thinking of all that the Lord owns and all that we've done with what he owns. So if you just bear with me for a couple minutes, I think we're almost done here, I'm going to read this to you. And some of you may have heard it, but it bears repeating. The maker of the universe, as man for man, was made a curse. The claims of law which he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers made the bow where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were made in secret place. The nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hills on which it stood. The sky which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The sun which hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The spear which spilt his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rock his hands had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. Isn't that beautiful? The things... there's other poetry been written like that to show all that was done to the Lord and everything, and yet it was man that he created who used God's own supplies, if you want to call it that, to have him suffer after that. But why does all that? It was because of his love for us. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, I wanted to also just mention verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. And I got to thinking about that. You know, there was times in David's life when he wasn't living upright. But you know what? David knew how to confess to the Lord. And you know, many times we say, oh Lord, forgive me for this or that. You know, sort of an airy prayer. But you know what? We have to mention the sin. We have to say, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have thought this. Please forgive me. It's important to mention the sin. The Lord knows all about it, but we need to know in our heart and mind that this is what we're confessing to the Lord. David knew the Lord, knew what was expected of him when he realized that he sinned. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, not just in some general thing, I haven't been a good girl today or anything. Name the sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, you can't beat the Lord at giving. No matter what you seek from him, he gives in abundance. And it's so wonderful to know him. As I said, I hope you all just know him and love him and trust him with your very lives. You know, we've been hearing in the last two or three meetings about the rapture and the fact that the Lord could come, even as we speak. And I can remember back when I had business with great girls sometimes saying, someone would ask, what happened? You know, what's going to happen? I don't know. I haven't been there yet. But if the Lord comes, my body's going to be there, but I'm going to be gone. I wanted them to realize how important it was for them to know that their body might be here, but they'd be with the Lord. So I don't go over, because I'm not supposed to do that. Let me just say one more thing. This is very interesting in the First Chronicles, these chapters in here. First part of First Chronicles, you get kind of bogged down because they name all the 12 tribes and their families. But it's scripture. You should read it. But I'm saying, if you want to read interesting stories, if you start about in the middle of the book and go forward, very interesting stories with the Philistines and David and all the things that happened to him up to the point where his son will reign. And then, if you go into the first chapter of 2 Chronicles, you read another wonderful prayer. It's not a song or a psalm, but it's a prayer of what Solomon asked for. And most of you probably know it. It's a wonderful thing to read for your own enjoyment. Let's just close with a word of prayer.